Acts 2. I have looked at this thought of hiding the truth. This is the seventh message, if I'm counting right. In Matthew 27, Jesus, of course, has been crucified and is being placed in the grave. Last couple of verses that we've read to get our thoughts, as Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch, go your way, make it sure as you can," of course, the sepulcher. "So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch." I have indicated the fact that the devil was using this to try to hide the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And the devil knew if he ever got out of that grave, if the truth ever got exposed, he was going to be in trouble. So the stones were placed there to keep him in, and the soldiers were placed there to keep people out. And the strategy of Satan was behind it all. I've looked at several things. I'll condense it and say this. We're looking at the fact that the devil speaks to us. He talks. The battleground today has been the same battleground since Eve and Adam, and that is the mind, the thinking. The devil speaks to us. And I've looked at the fact that the devil tries to use deception, get us to believe something other than the truth. Doesn't want the truth out. Doesn't want us to know the truth. And the devil also tries to use distraction to get our minds off of something else other than that which is most important, the Lord's will in your life. I want to look at a very important thought this evening and say the devil also tries to use division. One of the first things, and you can keep looking back to Adam and Eve with all this, one of the first things that God said after he had created everything and man, Adam, is this: "It is not good that the man should be alone." Now, we know he's talking about a helpmeet or a woman, but the thought still remains, it is not good to be alone. And some will say, "Well, I don't mind it too bad." But God has designed us to mingle and to cohabitate and to converse and to work with others. And the problem with that is when you're working with others, there's a possibility of problems. And if I know that, and you in your mind, at least I've shaken your head. You didn't do it much outside, but hope you agree. Since we know that, I sure am convinced the devil does. He attempts to use division. Now, for our verse that you'll look at with me, in Acts 2, verse 42, notice what it says. The early church, they're just getting started, but I say this, they're getting started right. And it says in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Hallelujah, they need good doctrine, right doctrine. You know what that is? That's the truth. But it didn't stop there, and I won't read the whole verse. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They realized, the Lord realized, and that's why he prodded them this direction. They understood, they got the truth, they knew the truth, that is, we need each other. We need each other, we need to work together. The word fellowship means sharing. They shared each other, they opened their hearts and their minds to each other. That word also has this thought, it carries this thought of benefit. It is a good thing to fellowship and communicate and get along with others. I guess the Lord knows that. He says this, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It has the idea of partnership. And it has this idea, there's something missing without this. You may not know it, but you need people. You may not know it, but the truth is others need you. And God has designed the church. He has designed his family to work together and to get along. But the devil doesn't want that. I thought about this. God is called the God of peace, peace. Jesus is called the Prince of peace, peace. And the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of peace, peace. I think that means that God wants us to have peace in our hearts, but he also wants us to have peace with each other. Jesus' high priestly prayer that he prays right before he takes off and heads back home includes this thought. He asks the Father that they may be one, even as we are one. There's something about Christian fellowship, a Christian union. Now, I hope you have friends who are lost. Hope you don't do like them. But you can have a lost friend, but there's something different than a lost friend than a saved friend. You can see somebody you never have met before, and you find out they're a brother or sister in Christ, and there's a union, there's a connection. You identify with them. That's the way it's supposed to be. In Mark 6:7, Jesus sent them out two by two. He understood the importance of working together. If one went out by themselves, they couldn't accomplish near as much as two. If one went out by himself, he could get discouraged and go back home. And if he was there with another person, they may say, no, come on now. I know you're discouraged, but come on, we got to stay in here. Let's serve the Lord so they could encourage each other. He sent them out two by two. I thought about Paul and Silas in prison. Now, they could have been there by themselves without each other. They could have still prayed and sang praises, but I believe it's a whole lot easier because you had a brother there going through the same thing. There's something about unity. There's something about the union of the family. Now, the devil knows that also, and he is trying his best to separate the family of God, to separate us. What did he do with Adam and Eve? He spoke to Eve and not both of them together. He's trying to put a wedge between not just of all humanity that's coming, but between this couple. He's trying to separate them. He said to the woman, he knows the strategy of divide and conquer. The importance of fellowship, the importance of unity among the brethren. He's trying to separate, he's trying to split. I'll tell you one thing, if I'm mad at you, I'm less likely to pray for you. If you've done something I don't like or agree with, I'm less likely. I may say, Lord, get them. And I am joking, by the way. I do know this, as long as there's division, as long as there's hard feelings, there's going to be this splitting of the family. He's trying to separate. He's trying to split. I say he's trying to stop. Why is he using division? Because he's trying to stop. When there's division in the family, the Spirit of God is stifled. That moving that we so desperately need will be stopped or at least hindered. The devil knows that. So he tries to spread division among the family that he might stop the family of God. I'll tell you one thing, he knows it's hard to defeat a united church. And we need to realize that. Paul is writing to the people of Corinth, that church that has absolutely fallen off the edge. I mean, they have gone past bad. And just some of the problems that were there at that church was they were immature and acting like babies. They were allowing sin and proud of it. They were suing each other at the law. They were having marriages that did not agree with God's word. They were getting drunk at the communion table. They were mixing law and grace. They had lowered and discarded their standards. And that's just a few things that's wrong with this church that Paul addresses. But before all of that, he says, I hear there's division among you. He addresses division first. That tells me it's important that we abide in unity. He said in chapter 3, verse 3, "For ye are carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" You know what he's saying? You're acting like a bunch of lost people. Because there's envying and strife and division and you're carnal. You're acting like lost people, not like God's people when you let division come. I say the devil's trying to get division in every church and every family, by the way. Because he's trying to separate and split and stop. I think he's trying to silence. Jesus said this, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." He said the lost world will know your mind and know you're different when they see your love for each other. And the devil's wanting to do his best to silence our witness by causing division among us. As long as we're fussing and fuming, there will not be God's touch, God's help, and there will not be the witness it could be. So I got to my message now. Paul undoubtedly understood, the Lord speaking through him, how important this is. For he said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." He says it's something to take seriously. And someone that's always stirring up trouble and causing division, he said, put a mark on them. And by the way, avoid them. Because if you don't, you're going to get just like them. And it's going to cause a whole lot of trouble. I'm talking this evening about the devil wants to hide the truth. He doesn't want us to realize and see the truth of this thing is division is dangerous and is destroying many a church. And he can hear, by the way. The devil will try to use our differences. Now, I wish you were, but you're not. I wish you were all like me. And then everything would be all right. But you're not. You have not yet attained. You're still striving for the goal. And maybe one day you'll reach where I'm at. Oh, I hope that doesn't happen. But we are all different. But I got news for us all. Different ain't always bad. Different is just different. Jesus was there by the well, and the woman of Samaria came. And he didn't know. He was confused. And he didn't know he wasn't supposed to be talking to her. And she said, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You know what I think he said? I don't care. Hey, if they don't like each other, that's their problem. I see a woman needing Christ. I see a woman needing forgiveness. And I'm going to do what is completely contrary to the norm. I don't care if she's different. She needs me. And there's plenty of different people. We're all different. But I say again, different doesn't always mean wrong. It just means different. You don't have to be like me, and I wouldn't encourage you being like me. Just realize our differences the devil can use to divide us if we're not careful. Paul said it like this, "Now are ye the body of Christ and members in particular." I have fingers here. Eight of them look alike, and two of my thumbs look alike somewhat, but they're all different, and I have a hand, and I have arms and legs and ears and a big old nose, and everything's different, but I sure am glad it's all here. Well, I wish I had some of it gone, but I'm glad that all these different body members fit together and function differently, but it helps the body to function. That's what the body of Christ is. Just because they're different doesn't mean they're not needed. Just because they're different doesn't mean we should disassociate with them. Now, if they're in sin, of course, I'm going to talk about that. He tries to use our differences We ought to say, they may be different, but if they're saved, they're family. And I will not abuse my family. I will not attack my family member. We may not be able to be best buddies, but they're family. They may not have the personality I desire or love. I may not feel comfortable in palling around with them, but if they're God's, they're God's, and I will not attack them. I will not let the devil whisper his lies and me believe it. He'll try to use our differences. He'll try to use our disagreements. I thought about Abram and Lot. I mean, they got plenty of money. And the Bible says that the cattlemen or the employees, for lack of a better word to use, of Lot and Abram, they keep growing, getting bigger. And they start, because there's just so much land available, they start fussing at each other. And here's what Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren." And I want to tell you what, this one just a squabble over a chicken fence on the property line. The Bible says in those verses before that, there was a lot of land and a lot of money involved. It was a big issue. And Abram had said, there's something more important than money. And that's, you're my kin. We're brethren. We will not fight over stuff that, even though it may be important, it doesn't matter near as much as the devil would like it to make us think. He'll try to use disagreements, things we disagree on. Most of the stuff that Baptist fusses about is not worth a hill of beans. Most of the things we disagree on doesn't matter one lick if we just weigh it out and look at it close. But the devil doesn't want us to see that. He wants to hide the truth and let the disagreement and the problem and the words be our focus. He tries to use our disagreements. The best thing we can do is pray God will help us. You may win the argument. You may lose a brother or sister in the process. There are things more important than my little feelings and my little way and what I want and what. It's just sometimes best to let things go. And it may be that they wronged you. Peter said, how many times I got to forgive them? Seven? Jesus said, oh my, you don't know the truth. 70 times seven, which means forever. No matter how many times they wrong you, we don't have an excuse to not forgive. Jesus said we're to love our enemies and do good. And if we're to love our enemies and do good to them, surely we ought to love each other and do good to each other. He, the devil, will use disagreements if we let him. Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep, which means somebody's trying to take it away. It can be lost. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The word endeavoring means to make an effort. To do what it takes to keep the bond of peace, to be willing to do whatever it takes to have peace in the family of God. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I'm talking about the devil trying to use our disagreements. We're going to disagree. I told somebody yesterday, a work day at church, it can be the best thing in the world or the worst thing in the world, depending on what happens. It can energize fellowship or it can instigate hate. He says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted. Kind has the idea of being kind and nice. Has this idea, the word includes useful. I want to be useful. I want to be productive. I want to help my brother or sister, not
harm them, not hurt them, not divide the membership. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. I'm talking about disagreements. Tenderhearted literally means sympathetic. Understand them. I was going down the aisle at Walmart the other day, and I went around the corner, and there's a woman. I've seen her. I don't know. I think she may work there. And she's about as happy then as she had been the other times I seen her. She is just some one grumpy-looking woman. And I mean, listen, she was at fault. I went around. I was going the right way. And I went around and kind of came close to her buggy. She came close to my buggy. And I said, excuse me. And that old grumpy woman, I'm telling you what, I'm glad I ain't married to her. And she probably walked off and said, I'm glad I ain't married to that old fat man. So we just fine like that. But I thought, man, woman. Then I thought, she may have had a bad day. I don't know what she went through. Now, undoubtedly, she's had a whole lot of bad days because she ain't never smiled. But they may have really been going through something. You don't know how they were raised, or maybe you do. And you don't know the damage it's done. It's hard to get over what the test of time and the damage of this world has done. And we need to be sympathetic. I'm talking about disagreements. It's easy to fly off the handle. It's easy to try and strike back. And the devil knows that. And he'll try and get that wedge in, get a disagreement going. Galatians 5:26 says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. In other words, he's saying, let's not be provoking one another. It means to irritate. Sometimes people irritate you, even when they're on their best behavior. But we are to, on purpose, beg God to help us to not be an irritation to people. And not do something we know they're going to get irritated about. We're to make sure we work with. Never read the verse again. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So he's saying, don't provoke and don't envy. Don't be jealous. Focus more on what you agree on than what you disagree on. I'm talking about he'll use disagreements if we let him. Be the first to speak peace and seek peace, to reconcile and to do right. The devil, I'm talking about separation, I'm talking about division. He don't want us to get the truth. He doesn't want us to understand how damaging it is to your heart and to a church or a family. He'll try to use our differences and our disagreements. He'll try to use our disappointments. If you ever care, if you ever really want to see God use people, if you ever want to really see God move with people you care about, you're going to be disappointed. Because there's sometimes people just don't seem like they ever do quite get connected. And just about the time you think they're going to do good, they just do worse. By the way, that's true of all of us. He will use our disappointments. People we care about will disappoint us. I say this again. It's amazing how the devil will show us the negative things about them and forget about the positive things. Everything ain't bad, and you may know some that's just about true of them. But he's trying to divide. He's trying to use our disappointments. Paul said, Romans said, the Lord said, Romans 15:1, ye then that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak. And I want to tell you, it'll wear you out. If you care at all, it'll wear you out when the weak just stays weak and keeps doing things that just ain't smart. Keep doing things instead of doing good, they do wrong. Instead of getting in there and serving God, you may have a family member. You know me, you may be a church member. The devil will use disappointments if we let him. But the Lord said we're supposed to be strong and we're supposed to support the infirmities of the weak. And keep praying, keep reaching out, keep helping. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even, here it is again, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I'm talking about disappointments. He says forbearing one another. You know what that means? Put up with them. I'll just be honest, some people, and you may feel this way about me, sometimes you just have to put up with them. You just have to put up with them. It's better than the alternative. What are we going to do? Blow mad? Attack? Shun them? Give up on them? Hope not. That's what the devil wants. Forbearing means to put up with. Galatians 5:15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. He is literally painting a picture of wild animals savagely attacking their prey. If ye bite and devour one another, you're going to be devoured, consumed by one another. It literally means to destroy one another. And division will slowly but surely devour a church. Slowly but surely take all the energy, all the love, all the power. Jesus said this, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Just in case we didn't get it, he repeats it, that ye also love one another. Now, when we hear that verse, we think about love, ooey gooey. Really feel for them, and that's a part of it. But Bible love, and this word love here, is not just an emotion. It's a verb. It's doing. For God so loved the world doesn't just mean that he felt ooey gooey about us, but it means he did, he acted, he responded to help the lost humanity. And when he says we're to love one another, it means we ought to feel a connection with them. What he's saying is you ought to treat each other right. You ought to show your love and not just talk about it. I thought about this verse. We use it a lot. We ought to. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more, and so much the more, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I am understanding more and more those four words, so much the more. Because it seems like the attack's getting worse on God's people. I sense the last day attack of the devil. And people are hurting more and suffering more and troubled more and sick more and attacked more. And that's why he said, when you see the last days especially, that's when you better realize how important the church is. Don't forsake the church. But he put in here on purpose, exhorting one another, building them up. Lifting them up, being an aid, not a distraction, being a help, not a hindrance. I hope the Lord will put in our hearts, mine and yours. I want to be an exhorter, a builder, to build up others, not tear them down. Their family, their family. They may not do right, neither do I. They may make me mad. I'll probably make them mad. But they're family. And I will not attack them. I will not devour them because they're family. This church is your family. And the devil wants to tear us down. He wants to divide us. I appreciate the unity we have. I tell you one thing. The devil understands the unity we have. And he no doubt is doing his best and may try more. To attack, to divide. He attacks the strong areas of every church and every individual. Watch out for it. Don't let the truth be hidden from you. Realize you can be a part of the division. You can be a hindrance instead of a help. And so can I. Let's stand together.